Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, happy to be back in the saddle. Thank you so much for holding down the fort while I was out of town.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you. I was taking care of my dad. He's on the path to recovery from his double bypass and full valve replacement. So he certainly needed my help. I was happy to do that. So thank you for being here for me. So yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you today about a couple topics that I really saw cause some big light bulb moments to people. I actually had to do two speaking AI events in the past couple weeks. And one of them was prompt formula. So it's something we've talked about before and touched upon, and just, you know, really the art of writing a good prompt. And then the other one is, and I know, you know, our audience are primarily creative entrepreneurs, and oftentimes creatives are looking for a sounding board. They're looking for some sort of feedback on their art or whatever it is they're creating. And maybe have AI be your sounding board. So I'm going to talk about image or, you know, document upload and ways that AI can give you, you know, objective feedback. What do you have going on today?
Well, there's something that, and it won't be tough to guess, something that YouTube wants labeled and how that's going to expand. And then something that's once again encroaching on your territory in the musical realm as it relates to AI. I will talk about what that new product is. I actually had some fun with it the other day. I'll explain what happened.
Nice. Are you going to be the opener for us when we come out and play with the?
I'll just turn my computer on.
Right, exactly. Hey, Kanye did that last week. He had a show and he just pressed play and stood on stage. But anyway,
nice.
That's a whole nother topic. So, all right. Fresh off of my speaking engagements here, and I really got to see a lot of light bulb moments of people in the crowd, and it was great. And it's more fun than talking social media, I'll tell you, because just the capabilities of this tool and the ways that we need to reprogram our brain of being able to use it is, it's really fun to see the receptiveness of the people as they're learning this from a person. So again, you know, that's why, you know, we push this show, we want to get this information out. So I want to talk about something that, you know, some of us early adopters have kind of taken for granted, but we want to get this really good information out about exactly what a prompt formula is. And now, prompt is the new word that we're going to hear a lot. Again, it's not a new word, but it's another way of saying asking a question, or you give a computer a
prompt. Engineering and prompt, development. Yeah, so
It's a term that's going to make its way into the mainstream a lot more than before. You know, coders, people who know computers, they know this for years and years. So, but there's a very distinct formula of a way that you can talk to your AI. In this, you know, instance, I'm talking about ChatGPT, but again, Gemini, any of these ones. But step one, you always want to give it context. You want to say exactly. So say for in this example I'm going to give you of, you know, trying to get something written for you. And, you know, context, step one, you can say, hey, you are an experienced content writer with high levels of expertise and authority within the tech industry. So now you're giving context of how it's going to write this article. The next, after you've given it appropriate context, then you give it its task. And you can be as, you know, straightforward as saying your task is to write context that will be published to online websites, social media, email newsletters, and advertisements. You continue to give it more information. Say your writing style is informative, friendly, and engaging. And then you give it instruction after that. So you say what, you know, after you've given it the task, you give it the instruction of exactly what you want it to do. So you say, hey, I want it to give a topic or a series of topics to create an engaging article about this topic.
Right.
You can then give it some clarifying ones. I don't find too much use in this, but you can, you know, I feel free to correct me. You know, some clarity, you can say, ask it if, you know, if it understands or if it's having any trouble with this prompt. And then lastly, my absolute favorite is once you've received your answer from your prompt, you then ask it to refine. This is the last step of the process. And this is where you really get to the good stuff. So for some examples of this, I like to ask it to produce 100 topics for Reels for a specific client, if I'm working on Reels, for example.
Sure.
And then I ask it to refine and I say, all right, out of these 100 examples, give me the 15 that you think have the highest propensity to go viral or are the most engaged. Or the most educational, or, you know, whatever your topic is. And then you allow it to sort and refine, you know, its results.
Right.
And, you know, the other one, when you ask for hashtags from ChatGPT, it often will give you hashtags. And one of the things that gives it away is that it'll capitalize the first letter of each of the words.
Right.
And it'll give it in a list, like you've pressed the return key after each hashtag.
Right.
And then I will typically refine it and say, no, I want this in a copy-pasted block, like it's a block of code. Mm. Also, don't include any capital letters. And then boom, it does it. And it shows up differently, like you were going to be copying code, which I think you've done that before. You could see how the answer shows up differently. So there are so many ways that we can refine the answers that we get to get exactly what we want. And, you know, you can have it write full letters or write full, you know, newsletters or blogs, and then you can upload two or three paragraphs of your own writing and then say, okay, now rewrite this just like me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, the prompt formula, mastering it is really one of the next keys of mastering AI and getting from the AI what it is that you're looking for. You know, what are some of your thoughts on prompt formula?
I think you're making a good point in terms of, as we've talked about a million times now, you put in, give me a cat, give me a cat story, you just get plain back. But if you have a formula, and not only that, you can develop your own formula. Like you mentioned, you know, write like me or write in this style or add this kind of element to the writing, whatever it may be, or even imagery, you know, add this type of thing or don't add this. Sometimes you want to let it know that there is part of, there's something you don't want, you're trying to avoid.
Right.
Nice thing is also just distilling down information. I mean, I think that is one area that I think a lot of people are missing, that if you have a bunch of information that you just want to understand, what's the basics, what should I be pulling out of this, especially if you're not really good at comprehending. I mean, I know that sounds kind of funny, but sometimes people read stuff and like, okay, what's the point that I really should be taking out of this? Well, throw it in the AI and it'll distill it down for you, just like you're doing with your list. So there are many, many ways to approach this. And I think going beyond the basics, but I think to your point, develop your own. Write down the things that worked for you, that produced the things that you wanted, and use that as your own personal prompt formula.
Understood. All right, so let's toss it back to you for YouTube and what they want labeled, and I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about.
Oh, go ahead. Guess it. What do they want labeled? Well,
anything that Sora will output. So any sort of AI-generated video, I'm assuming. That
AI,
YouTube.
Anything. Yes, they want it labeled. And I think that, you know, it's kind of funny because YouTube is promoting AI stuff. Mm-hmm. Google's promoting AI stuff, but yet they're talking about squishing AI stuff. And it is a contradiction. But the thing is, there's going to be more and more content and even good content created with AI.
Mm-hmm.
So good content's okay. Bad content is, you know, good prompts will lead to really good content that people will want to see. Bad, spammy, just quick, get as much out there as possible will not work as well. This is going to be something that's going to continue to be a part of probably everything. Is this AI or not? And that will be the question. Remember, we talked early on, you know, about that little, you know, how you have the copyright C, we have the, you know, circle H kind of thing human to put made. On stuff saying, hey, this is human made. Because there are people that are going to want human made for a specific reason. And sometimes AI is okay.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something we need to be thinking about. And maybe in your process, making note of what is AI, what is human. And one thing that we have created at our company is the human department. We literally call it the human department now because
brilliant.
We have enough areas in which AIs, the tech guys, myself, we use a lot of AI. But we've labeled a whole department as, yes, you can use AI to support and for research, but it's going to be based off of opinion. These are going to be opinions, ideas, a little self, yourself in the work. And guess what? When a lot of websites were getting crushed over the last few weeks because of the rollout of the new supposed AI crusher Google algorithm update, we were going up. We were seeing big moves up. And I have a feeling that's because we have a lot of really good human content out there that Google is saying, hey, that this is nice. But again, that can be AI'd with proper prompts too. So, you know,
I mean, when it comes to video and AI, what I see happening in the next, you know, couple of years is these programs are coming out and the video quality is getting so good is that maybe not like, you know, say like an interview type video, maybe not the main meat of the interview, but that B-roll footage and some of the other stuff is going to start to become AI produced because heck, if these, you know, if the video producers can, you know, do that instead of purchasing B-roll or getting out there and shooting extra stuff, it's a way to save some cash.
And to get exactly what you want versus going through tons and tons of video, not getting what you want. And here you get a couple examples based off of a prompt that is exactly what you're looking for that may not be anywhere. But yeah, I mean, there is going to be times, there's going to be stuff that's going to be narrowed down or jobs that are going to be narrowed down, very focused, but a digital producer is still going to be important at some level because somebody needs to make the choices. A good example that I've used before, and this is actually something I just did the other day, is I created a website for a client. And I did it, here's the story, backstory, it's kind of funny. They spent a good few thousand dollars for somebody who works next door to them, okay? And they have an department that supposedly creates websites. Well, this was an HTML website that they pulled a template off of. It wasn't even WordPress or anything else. Which is fine. Yeah. Except it was horrible. And it took them a year to do it. And they spent thousands of dollars and it was horrible. And I created a better website in an afternoon with all the same information and so forth. Now, here's the deal. And this is where I go back to the whole AI thing. If AI in that situation could have worked because we didn't have a client. We had the content, and as long as it looks similar in style to what was already there, the AI could have just created it and would have been fine. If we were starting from scratch though, you have input, client input, people saying yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And you're still going to have that whether it's AI or not. Whether it's music created by AI, video created by AI, imagery, text, you're still going to have somebody saying, does this represent my business or not, or my vision or not? And so there's going to be a team. The team will be smaller, but required because it's still made for humans.
Right. Yeah, there's just a little less footwork needed to get to the end goal.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to my rant. And if you would like more rants, check out last week's episode of the solo show. Brian has already heard me. He decided to skip that one.
Yeah.
And right.
I'll catch up. I promise. I will.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, to keep us on the tracks here. Sure thing. All right. So creatives. We are talking to the you know, the creative entrepreneurs here, and there's nothing us creatives like more than feedback. And you know, sometimes we're afraid that maybe that feedback's biased, you know, or maybe our friends or family will think every song or every photograph we take or everything that we do is good. So sometimes it's hard to get objective feedback. And, you know, what's going to give you more objective feedback than a robot, than a computer with no, you know, no bias? Air quoting here, because we all know ChatGPT is loaded with bias because it takes information from the internet. But, you know, but if you're a fashion designer, interior designer, graphic designer, photographer, you can use the ChatGPT upload function and upload your work into ChatGPT and ask it questions about, you know, how you executed, or say in photography, any suggestions for editing techniques, or, you know, captions to enhance the impact or storytelling.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, there's all sorts of things you can do with these, you know, the art that you've created, product design and prototyping, you know, asking it, you know, giving it feedback on some design iterations. Say, hey, I'm here so far in the design. This is what it's doing. These are the troubles that I'm having. And it'll actually apply engineering techniques and give you, you know, suggestions, maybe trying a different material because it understands material sciences. There's so many layers to it that it can be used to help with your creativity, whether you're engineering something or you're writing a song. You can upload speeches or music and it will translate, or it can write you out a full script for a speech or write out lyrics to a song. It can also give you feedback on the production quality of the track that you've uploaded.
Interesting.
And, you know, maybe you can use a compressor. Hey, I can't really hear the drums so much in this mix. Different things like that, that you can, you know, ask for its feedback. So we're really just limited by, again, you know, I feel like I'm like a broken record saying this, but we're limited by the questions we can ask it with the medium that we provide it. So we can upload, you know, again, images, spreadsheets, speeches, music, all sorts of, you know, different forms of media. And then we can pretty much ask for anything from it. And, you know, it can say no, which is just fine. Yeah. But you can be prepared to be blown away by, you know, what it's going to give you. And again, you know, I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but when my father was recovering from his surgery, we were literally just taking photographs taken of his, you know, stat TV that showed, you know, yeah, his EKG and everything. And it was analyzing this like a doctor and giving us full information about his status. And then, you know, subsequent photos giving it updates. So,
right,
you know, this technology and the way that it analyzes the input that it's giving, it's getting to the point where it can see things even better than the human eye can.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say it with a caveat that, you know, it might not be able to tell you that something is aesthetically pleasing, because that's such a subjective thing, sure, to humans. What somebody finds aesthetically pleasing, somebody else doesn't. You know, his name's escaping me, but, you know, the artist of the Campbell soup one. You know,
Right. I know. Oh my goodness.
I know. But this is
and it's so obvious. It's one of those things.
I have to
go. Everybody who's listening to the show is screaming.
I know.
It's screaming right now.
Andy Warhol.
Warhol, of course.
Why did that take so long? So, but, you know, again, his art is very subjective. Some people, yeah, are like, well, it's just a picture of a thing. And other people think it's, you know, he's a famous artist. So anyway, you know, maybe the AI can't tell you, you know, the artiness of it, if you will. But it can certainly give you feedback about a whole sort of things. And especially when you're cultivating your product or your creation, to get that unbiased feedback, I think, is a really valuable tool.
Yeah, because quite often as a creative entrepreneur, you feel like you're alone. You're all by yourself. And I have a feeling we don't realize how much these AIs can do now with submissions. You know, you think, oh, it can't help me with anything in the real world. Not true. Take a picture, put it in the AI world, and it'll show you and share. So you could be a sculptor in theory and take a picture of your sculpt. And anyway, it can give you feedback or numbers or even a picture of a sign. What does this say if you're in a foreign land? All sorts of things. I mean, it is right. Amazing. So good points. Thanks. On that. Because it really, thanks, I think, is opening up that door of understanding when you talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. Just reprogram our brain. So reprogramming. So we're reprogramming music and AI. I am on the edge of my seat.
So Suno, suno.ai.com. I created a song about my Australian shepherd. And then I created a song about my cat, whose name is Dangerous D. See, I've nicknamed all of my old cats with old school rappers. So we had Mixmaster Max, we had Grandmaster P, and this was Dangerous D. And I wanted Dangerous D in the form of the Beastie Boys. And I thought that would have been great. Yeah. But they kicked it out because I used the name of a band. So that didn't work. So I had to use Beastie old school rap.
Very, very copyright conscientious.
Sure. Yeah. As they should.
Yes, they should.
They are unique. But anyway, the point being, you use a different type of a prompt, and the more, so it creates about a, you know, 20, 30 second song. Are they awesome? No, but it is interesting what it comes up with. You know, they're right. Often catchy songs, and they're, so it'll be interesting to see what happens as all this develops. There is a couple new, platforms out there that'll let you test the whole video thing. They give you a 2-second clip to test it. But they were kind of at the level of where DALL-E 2 was. So And I mentioned this last week in the show that it was kind of like you said, you know, cat smoking a cigar on the moon. It looked like it was a, you know, there's the moon, there's the cat, you know, and there's, it should be very like almost cut out and they put it together. Right. And where now DALL-E 3 and Midjourney and all those other platforms are really good at just, you know, making nice smooth scenario that's more mm-hmm. either realistic or engaging. So but you know, I think each area is getting tapped into and is getting refined. They're all at different levels. Again, I think most of them are in the, you know, Chat GPT 3 realm, DALL-E 2 realm. The only ones that are that advanced. Now, we are looking this summer, they are looking for a big update to Chat GPT. So they're not calling it 5, but they're calling it a significant upgrade. In other words, they may not go to 5, 6, they may just give it a name or things like that. So anyway, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So much is happening every single week. Have you noticed anything new as of late? I know you've been busy. I know you.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've not been up to date with any of that, but I mean, I've just noticed that the prompt, you know, the answer is just continuing to get a little bit better.
Yes.
I don't have to refine nearly as much. It's also remembering my previous prompts, and you know, yes. I'm just starting to train my dragon, if you will.
Right.
So it's getting better.
And that is one area they really want to work on. And they're talking about developing that memory. For the chat GPT. So it really is ultimately, because when you open up a new chat, it starts over. The memory only mm-hmm. goes as far as that chat generally. So it's going to work with an overall memory. So you will have a AI that really remembers you and your tastes and what you like and dislike. And so that will be interesting.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I had to, when I did a presentation, I trained it, you know, to be ready for the presentation, but I had to definitely open that previous chat in order to get the engaged train one. So,
but that's a good point that maybe some people aren't realizing that, look, if you had a good experience with in a good chat and it's something that was producing, go back to it. You can go back to it. And especially in Chat GPT.
They just list on the left.
Nice. Yeah. On the left side there. I've been using Claude AI a lot. It's really, it competes well with Chat GPT. Nice. So I like that one a lot more, but Chat GPT has much more around it. But I'm paying for I have the paid version of all of them now. You know, you name an AI, I have the paid version. And so, you know, it's getting more than my cable bill every month right now.
Exactly, like a cord cutter who's now paying more than with all the subscriptions, right?
Exactly. But it's for research, so
it's worth it, right?
So
exactly.
Well, that so we can tell everybody what's going on. Yeah,
right, exactly. So all right, cool. Well, everyone, we have a guest lined up for next week, Jacqueline Green, who is an interior designer, who will you know, talk to us about how she's been incorporating AI into her business. So we're excited to have her.
Yeah.
And you know, again, if anyone has any topics for us, or if they want to be a guest on the show and talk about the ways they're incorporating AI into their creative entrepreneurial experience. Ooh, I said that the right way.
Nice.
Please, you know, reach out to us. You know, what's the contact info, Roush? How do they get to us?
CreativeEntrepreneurShow.com, and you can contact both of us from the front page. And of course, you can find your local and favorite podcast location.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll talk to you all next week.